And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I can't believe just how many edgelords are in the Splatoon 2 fanbase. I'm so utterly depressed. And, hey, what's this? Open in case Tyler has an inflated ego.
Uh-oh.
Okay, that helps.
Well played, Will. Well played.
You know, I'm so excited for us to be able to finally, you know, let go of that so I don't have to listen to Will play the You Can't Buy Me Love clip.
Hey, all I can time cope great any my laws for chaos. It's... I can cope with my laws. You, however, you can't still in denial.
No,
about
no,
that.
You know that you cried after the L was handed out, and you know, I told you guys this would happen. I started out the gate strong, dominated the Splatfest. Then I saved it up. I went into conservative mode. I started benching the starters like a football team that was, you know, 11-0 going into
play
the final couple weeks.
Check. I don't think I saw your name on the
list. Oh, and I was a positive contributor to my team. Did I play a lot? Well, no. But do I know my limitations and did I contribute? Yes.
All right. Well, the guy who's tooting his horn over there is Tellius Tyler.
Yes. Yes, that is all me. Right. Back again.
Yeah, back almost always.
As
anyway,
always.
ladies and gentlemen, we are very, very excited about this episode of the podcast. We are literally shivering with anticipation over the arrival of Fire Emblem Three Houses, and it will be glorious.
It made me forget.
Wait for it. Okay, that's enough, Will. That's called glorious domination. That is what we are feeling right now because we have dominated the last 3 months without Fire Emblem Three Houses in our lives, and now we are mere hours at the time of this recording to getting it. And we're going to be talking about the reviews, we're going to be talking about impressions, we're going to be talking about our thoughts on what we hope to get from the game in our main event tonight. But of course, as always, we're going to start it off with what have you been playing? I'm going to start this off because I, as promised, have been playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 exclusively on the Nintendo Switch. And ladies and gentlemen, I have been having a great big nerdgasm over this game. Like, seriously, as I mentioned last weekend, last podcast, I was a big fan of the original games. I especially loved the first one. It was just total nerd overload when I got it. It was literally all, pretty much every Marvel character, kind of, sort of, together, versus the Masters of Evil, you know, Doctor Doom, Loki, all of them. And it was just a really great big, you know, dungeon-crawling action RPG romp. It was good stuff. And the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 was better in context, but I couldn't play it because my game was broken. Of course it was. That's how my life works. And so when, of course, last year during the VGAs, when they announced that Ultimate Alliance 3 was coming and that it was going to be on the Switch exclusively, I was just amazed. And then, you know, I got the game, I started playing it, it's just as good as I remembered, it's just as fun as I remembered, and it's even better than I remember. In fact, I would honestly say, and Tyler, you have to hold back a little bit before responding to this, parts of this game are better than Avengers Infinity War and Endgame.
Wow.
And here's why. Yeah, here's why I'm saying that. I'm saying this in context, okay? Endgame and Infinity War had a better Thanos, without a doubt. Ultimate Alliance 3 has a better Black Order. All right? And if you think about it, a lot of the Black Order in Infinity War, and then when they were resurrected, quote-unquote, in Endgame, spoilers, they were barely there. They barely had an influence outside of a few key fights. In Ultimate Alliance 3, their presence is everywhere. And they are a force to be reckoned with. And I love that. Because that's how they are in the comics. They are this. They literally say in the game, it's Thanos' Ultimate Alliance. And he's not wrong. All right? Like, these are incredibly powerful characters.
But do they call the one Squidward in Ultimate Alliance 3?
Not yet.
Is Squidward referenced?
No.
Oh, then you have it. Infinity War.
Oh, better. Shut up.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Anyway, but this game is really, really fun. I am enjoying swapping out a lot of characters. Like, I started out. You start out with the Guardians of the Galaxy, which I think is a brilliant move because it makes sense that they would start at the game. And then you get, you know, some of the core Avengers. Then you go meet the X-Men. Then you know you go to you visit Wakanda. You go to Asgard. You go basically to every major significant place in the Marvel universe, which I love. It's literally, you literally travel across the universe, and it's just a grand old time. And then you have all these spots where you can just swap in characters, and I kept nerding out because I was like, oh my gosh, there's Wasp. Oh my gosh, there's Ghost Rider. Oh look, there's Valkyrie. Wait, we can't play as her. Why is that? Hello? You know, like, and I don't have a favorite team, but I will say that my team right now is Wolverine, Ghost Rider, Psylocke, and Deadpool.
Ah, okay, good combo,
Oh
good
yeah.
combo.
Yeah, well, Ghost Rider is one of my favorites, which is maybe because of the Johnny Cage, I'm sorry, Johnny Blaze. Who's Johnny Cage? Johnny Cage is Mortal Kombat.
Nicolas
Johnny, sorry.
Cage, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage, Ghost Rider movie. The first one, not the second one. The second one was terrible. But I like the character once I found out about him, and I like hearing about him in the comics. He's done really well there, and he has one of the coolest entrances in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Like, just when you thought, okay, something nothing big happening here, boom, there's Ghost Rider. Like, okay. So I'm almost done with the game. I had a lot of work this week, and I was trying to pace myself because I wasn't sure just how long it was. But I'm near the end now. I will be done before Three Houses tomorrow. So I this game has done a great deal for me, and I look forward to replaying it infinitely over the next however many months until, you know, I don't. But this game has a lot of replay value, let me tell you.
Yeah,
Okay,
I'm gonna get
okay.
it for sure, but I really want. So Loki, he's not playable yet, right? He's
Okay,
coming as
okay.
DLC.
Hold on. Loki is in the game.
Yes.
Loki will be playable
Right.
on August 31st.
Okay, well, see,
Wow.
maybe I have to wait till August 31st
He
because that's my guy.
will be free DLC as revealed at San Diego Comic-Con, which we're talking about a little bit later. But he will be at San Diego Comic. Or sorry, yes, Loki will be at San Diego Comic-Con, just like he was the last 2 years. Loki will be in the game on August 31st alongside Cyclops and Colossus, also in the game, and they will be free DLC. They are not paid DLC. So,
Yeah, that's fantastic.
yes. So aside from that, I highly recommend it. Our fellow Outer Haven writer, which I am struggling to say with a straight face, gave this game a 2.5 out of 5. I
Oof.
strongly disagree with that rating. I give it a 4.5 out of 5 out of principle alone. Okay?
Oh boy,
So
here we go.
yeah, so expect a opinion piece on me about how great this game is, but I highly recommend it. Now, other than that, I have obviously been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and true to the week that I have been having, my luck with the RNG gods was in full effect, in the good way, because within the course of having, oh, I don't know, 200-ish orbs, I got all four characters of the Three Houses banner.
Jeez, man, that insurance policy.
Well, here's it's hilarious how it happened though, 'cause here's how it started. So, the first summon, you know, like the free summon, I got a 5-star Ishtar, who I
Okay.
already had. I'm like, well, okay, but I thought, you know, I might as well just do the whole round. I've got enough orbs, and sure enough, on the last orb was I got Claude, and I'm like, oh,
Wow.
this is how my day is gonna go. So I'm like, great, so. I this of course it's only taking me like 2 minutes to do all these summons. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna keep summoning until I get the next character. So 100 orbs later, I get Edelgard, and I'm like, okay,
Okay.
pause, put the game down, go get stuff done. So I did, and then I had another lull, and I'm like, okay, it's time for another summoning. And I was going for Dimitri this time, but I also was going for Byleth at the same time, obviously. And about, I don't know, 20 orbs ish, maybe 40. I got Dimitri. I'm like, okay, pause, put it down, go get stuff done. And then finally, I doing a summoning, and I accidentally type a wrong orb. I was supposed to hit back. I hit continue, had to summon. Thankfully, it wasn't a 5-star. Went to the next round. I had two reds. One of them was Byleth. So, yeah, like 220 orbs, got all four characters, because that's how it
That's
rolls.
awesome.
And I still have like 220 orbs with me. Yeah,
Jeez Louise, holy moly,
I had
bad luck, yo.
475 going into this. I was not leaving without at least two of those characters.
Okay. Yeah, if you didn't get two, that would have been, I mean, that would have been in line with your previous luck. But...
Oh, yeah. It's happened before. It's happened before.
You're right. I mean, I just recently saw on Phoenix Master's video, even with 400 orbs, he only got two characters from the banner. So, yeah, RNG God is random, yes.
I haven't had this good of luck since the first Lagoose banner, because I got Tibbar and the Herons and my Queen Nyla in 170 orbs. So I spent a little more this time, but who's complaining?
I guess your faithfulness to the Fire Emblem Three Houses actually paid off.
Yeah.
The way karma works that way.
I'm bound to get lucky eventually. So
well,
there you go. And I am now
help.
Training my team.
I couldn't help but notice that you know, you've neglected to mention your failure on the Splatoon
oh,
battlefield.
Okay. I did play Splatoon 2, obviously.
I just want to point out that
it
you
was
came
actually,
up short.
It was actually harder for me to do it because I wanted to play Ultimate Alliance, but then I was like,
right.
If I blaze through Ultimate Alliance, then I'm going to be stuck 3 days without a game to play, you know, though I haven't finished Mario Odyssey before I got Ultimate Alliance. So I was like, okay, let's just do what I can. Played a little bit Friday night. Thursday night because it was 3 days. Played a little bit Thursday night, got to the next rank, played a little more Friday night, got a couple ranks, and then on Saturday, I wasn't intending to get to King level, but I hit the streak. I had a good team, we were dominating, we were killing it on Mako Mart. We didn't Mako Mart like 6 times in a row, we lost one time by less than 2%. That's how good my team was, alright? And we just hit a streak, and then I'm like, I'm looking at the clock, and I remembered, oh, yeah, they extended when it's going to end. So I'm like, all right, I got like 60 points to get. I can get this done. And sure enough, I did. So I did end, even though my team lost somehow 3-0. I don't comprehend it. I do not, honestly, especially the popularity, but whatever.
They heard the arguments. That's what happened.
Oh,
they,
shut up.
They were tuning into NXT. They heard the arguments. They were like, wow, that's... The Tyler guy's making a lot of good points. I was going to go with order.
Yeah.
But then I listened to his argument and I was swayed.
Anyway, but I can at least say that I ended the Splatfest on a high note with King rank, which also our dear friend Kromcho, who I had to remind about the Splatfest. Also, I had to remind Tyler about the Splatfest.
No,
so...
you didn't have to remind me. I knew it was going to
happen. Uh-huh. Sure, yeah, your tweets say otherwise.
They don't. They said I was going to watch Avengers because that was an option. And then you said, well, you should play the Splatfest. And I was like, well, I'm not really feeling it at this hour. But,
no,
you know,
that,
you're right.
That
is that
actually
is an
not
option.
What you said. You're like, oh,
no,
my gosh,
well,
you're right. I should go do that. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, let me find this tweet. Anyway, you carry on with your nonsense while I...
Oh, gosh.
Disprove.
No,
I'm not.
I'm not the one who's spewing nonsense. But it is Will's turn. Hi-o!
For me, as everyone has seen, like yeah, the passing coming with the last Splatfest, and wow, of course, naturally chaos. Yeah, 3-0. I'll give you that clean sweep. And yeah, not to kind of bring down the mood, but funny enough, unfortunately, the late Etika actually did side it with chaos, and yeah, lo and behold, chaos won in the end. Like, see, yeah, that majority popular, okay, wow, so many edgelords, it only describes so much character. Or I just gotta say, you doomed us all! And yeah, or that, but also, I'm just really happy that I finally managed to play my first 100, play and won one of my 100 times battle in the Princess Diary map. And I don't know about you, I really do like the map. The fact that you use the Pearl's Killer Whale with the smart bombs at the end of it is like, wow, it's just so big, yet at the same time, it's just like, it works. Especially when you get to use the Killer Whale of Pearl, it's just like,
I couldn't help
so
but notice Marina was lame and just was on the sidelines not doing anything, too. That's an interesting
She's been more
point.
Or less throwing the bombs. She's again, like... remember on the artwork, while Pearl had the Killer Whale, she handles the smart bombs, so remember that.
Yeah, but where was she? Where was she? It was the final Splatfest, and where was she?
She was in the chat.
And you wonder why her team lost. She was not there to support terrible pick
she,
fighting.
I just she was with there in spirit. She has a smart bomb, thank you.
Team Order certainly didn't
smart
feel
bomb,
her spirit, that's for sure.
That tilted the battle in anybody's favor in the battle. So don't you give me that. Don't you give me that.
It's just, you know,
so, and
something
over...
to consider.
So overall, yeah, finally won my first 100 times battle, which is like really exhilarating. I finally get that check. that check picture mark. I just more or less been taking a lot of pictures with Pearl and Marina amiibo, which is like, wow, they have the costume and new different poses for it, which is pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So yeah, the last Splatfest had a great time, and yeah, time to move on to Splatoon 3, which yeah, well, hopefully, yeah, just that tribute video at the end was like, okay, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. It was just so ironic that it played on the same day that the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood movie starring Tom Hanks is also released as well, which I said, I do not need this many feels in this day. I do not need that many feels.
Well,
So, yeah, Splatoon 3, I'm happy, so was Splatfest.
won't you be my neighbor?
Yeah, also just briefly as well, also been trying my luck on Fire Emblem people. So far, still no luck. I'm approaching 5% now, which even with the summon ticket, so yeah, that's kind of sad. And that's, of course, actually been playing a bit of Overwatch, playing on the Summer Games event, which they recently announced it a Sigma as a new hero, which a talent tank, which uses Gravity Whip, who has a bit of a insanity thing like going on with him. So I can't wait to try out Sigma once he comes out of the PTR. But yeah, been playing on Overwatch, getting some new skins, which meh, overall is pretty good. But overall, I'm just can't wait to finally play Three Houses come up in these next coming hours after work. I can't wait.
Tyler.
Well, I guess I should start by chronicling my Splatfest journey because, you know, as the champion of the final Splatfest, which, first of all, I want to point out, although I'm again not surprised that the popular vote went to my side after my compelling argument that the nation heard, I will say that every single one of the people that I follow from NEP on Twitter all were Team Order. Like, they were all Team Order. So I'm surprised that it was that big of a gap, like 58% to 42% when I think like seven of the people I know play Splatoon were all Team Order, was a little surprising to me. That being said, I knew we would win the battle. I mean, that's an obvious duh. We're the better players, so of course we won. But I booted up the game. I hadn't played Splatoon 2 for a very long time, and I told my roommate, I said, "Listen, I haven't played this game forever, but this is very important to me. You know, I have to win. I have to contribute meaningfully to my team." Actually, scratch that. I didn't say meaningfully. I said positively because I knew I'm a role player at this point in my Splatoon career. I'm not the superstar I used to be. So I had to contribute, but just, you know, I had to pick my spots and contribute in meaningful ways. So the first game I played was on the Shifty Station with Pearl, and I had no idea what was happening. I couldn't remember how to roll with the dualies, and that was really not fun, and I was getting destroyed, and our team was getting destroyed, and I quickly realized that I had made a huge mistake by trying to contribute to this team. So we lost the first game, humiliatingly. It was like we had like 20% of the turf. It was really bad. And then the second game, for some reason, I thought I'm going to get back out there and try one more time. So I did, and it went the exact same way. We got completely waxed. I had no idea what the map we played on was. I have no idea when they added it. I've never seen this map. It was a kind of cool one, but I couldn't even begin to describe it. It was very odd. And we got crushed. And then I thought, okay, I'm 0-2. You know, what do you do at this point? Back against the wall. You've hurt your team so far. You haven't helped. And I said, you know what? I'm going to keep playing. I'm going to keep playing. And then I got on a little run. We won one game. Then we played on the course that's like a really narrow line, basically, with like a couple of, there's like a pedestal kind of deal in the middle, and it's very like concave. It's very bouncy. I can't think of the name of it, but it was a cool level. We crushed on that one, and I got back to 2-2, 500. I thought, do I stop now and walk away having, you know, I contributed positively. I voted for Team Chaos, and I didn't lose more than I won. But no, I said no. I said, I'm going to give it one more game. And that's what I did. I went back in for my fifth game and won that one too in a total blowout on Pearl's stage. And then I said, that's it. I'm done. I'm done playing this Splatfest. And I stopped 3-2, helped the team. Unbelievable job by me. I was like the Ray Allen
Oh
to our
my
team's
God.
LeBron James.
Stop.
Like, if you think about it, you know, I think it was the 2014 Heat, maybe it was 2013. I'm pretty sure it was
It doesn't
2014.
matter.
But Ray Allen hits the big shot. LeBron carried. My teammates did a great job. They got us in position to where I could win that final game, that fifth game, to get us over the top. So I was a chaos, whatever the second one is. And you know, that was good enough to get the job done. I will accept all the thanks from my fellow Team Chaos people, one who listened to my argument and knew, you know, that Chaos was the way to go. So you can thank me later. You're welcome, everyone. I saved Pearl's legacy. Good job, me. And so that was the Splatfest. And then outside of that, I played Mario Maker 2 a lot still. Loving that game. I am now at the phase where I think I've built 8 or 9 stages I have uploaded, and I kind of want to go back and revisit some of them because I've learned things that work and things that don't work the more I build. So there's a few levels that I think the ideas are really good for, but the execution could be better. So I want to go back and kind of rebuild those. They recently increased the upload limit from 32 stages to 64 as well. So there's pretty much, yeah, that's a great add. I mean, I only was at 9, and I had been playing since launch. But I'm sure if you were building stages every day, you would be at your limit at this point. But still, I mean, even to build a simple stage, I did a little side scroller or an auto scroll stage in the Mario 3 style. And the main path is really easy, but I always like to put in a bunch of bonus rooms. So I had 2 different bonus rooms that take a little bit of time. But they weren't even that long either. It was a fairly short stage at the point. And it took me like 4 hours to build. Like these, you can't just sit down unless you're just going to like nail it in and just put some ground and put some enemies and then put a star in and have you run to the end. It does take time to build each stage. So the 32 would have lasted me probably for a fairly long time. That being said, having the 64 available is awesome. I should add on Twitter, I think Captain Toad shared his Maker ID in the episode that he was on with us, but I will put his Maker ID, and DK DJ got the game the other day. He's already built some stages, so I'll put his Maker ID on there too if you want to play with the NEP family. I would say is the proper term. Friends of NEP, NEP friends and family. You know, you pick which one you like, Todd. You're the host.
NEP fam.
Yeah, NEP fam. There we go. Yeah, if you want to play with the NEP fam, you just head to our Twitter and you can add those Maker IDs, give us those follows, and enjoy the stages. The game is so much fun, man.
It is. I mean, hearing you and Captain Toad talk about the game and seeing all the craziness and the creativity that others are making. This is why Mario Maker works as a title. It honestly probably shouldn't have worked, but Nintendo did such good detail on it and then made some improvements with the second one that it's the game that you can just have fun making things, and it feels worth it. So, yeah. I'm happy that you are enjoying Mario Maker, and screw you, Team Chaos. Team Balance forever!
Yeah, all no, right. Team Balance was the worst of the quote-unquote teams, the pseudo-teams. Because, you know, I didn't see any votes for them. I gotta say, I saw 0 votes for Team Balance.
It is not about the votes. It is about the impact on the world.
Can we talk about the Splatfest for 1 more second, or is that in our news segment?
Well, depends on what you want to talk about.
I wanted to talk about the post conversation and how it impacted.
Let's say that for news.
Okay, sounds good.
Let's say that for news. Because we do have a lot of good news, and it's actually been a somewhat interesting week in terms of what's been brought up and what's happened and the good things and the odd things. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And it's appropriate that we're going to start out with a mobile game, not just because of Fire Emblem Heroes and Dr. Mario World, but Dragalia Lost. Yeah, I forgot about that game, have you? Well, you probably shouldn't, because the game has been doing so well and so consistently since its launch last year that it's now made over $100 million in profit.
Woo.
Yeah. This comes via Sensor Tower, who's dedicated to these kinds of things, and they revealed that it is only the second Nintendo mobile game in the mobile initiative to have crossed 100 million. Now, to remind you, Pokemon Go is not in the Nintendo Mobile Initiative. That was made by Niantic and is not affiliated officially with Nintendo. Okay, they don't make a dime off of it. The games that do are, of course, Fire Emblem Heroes, Super Mario Run, Fire Emblem Heroes, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, Dragalia Lost, and now Dr. Mario World. Which is interesting because Animal Crossing apparently was the second most earning game until Dragalia Lost decided to usurp it, but it's not that far behind because it's at $99 million, which is interesting because we haven't heard anything about that game in a long time, but apparently people are still playing it. Okay. Then Tyler's favorite game, Super Mario Run, is at $72 million earned, and Dr. Mario World is Doing kind of slowly. It hasn't even crossed a million yet, and it's been out like 2 weeks. So that's interesting. Now, who wants to guess how much Fire Emblem's grossed?
Oh, I do. I want to say like 570 million.
Higher.
Will, do you want to chime in?
We're going
We're
higher
past
or lower? It's higher.
we're going past the billion mark.
What? No.
No. Okay, 600 million.
Lower.
Oh, well, okay. So my guess is pretty good.
I didn't say you're wrong, I just said you were under. You
Yeah,
said
no, I was.
570,
It was
go
a
higher.
solid guess, though. I just wanted respect for my guess being fairly
Your
good.
guess was close.
Okay,
Now.
that's good. Good job, me. Yeah, 585.
Higher.
590.
Higher
595.
lower
593.
lower
591.
correct
Yeah.
591 million dollars. So yeah, that's so needless to say, it's doing pretty well. But Dragali lost in Animal
Hey,
Crossing.
and you forgot to say something. And 50% of that is from Warrior Will.
True, and 25% is from you.
Well, you gotta give props again. The recent banner that especially with that upcoming legendary banner, including male bailiff, is gonna be interesting to come to say the least. Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a surge because of everyone wanting to get the three houses characters. So
We're gonna get male Byleth for free. I believe if you get for three houses, you get
yes.
him.
If you get three houses and you register it before the 29th, so you have like 3 or 4 days, you can get male Byleth for free, and he plays differently than female Byleth. So they did a video about that. So, but yeah, but still, Dragali lost. That's interesting that it's crossed 100 million, where it's the only quote unquote original property in the mobile initiative because it wasn't made by Nintendo. It was made by a third party developer.
Right. I
And
think it was made by Dina,
no.
DNA.
Yeah, like one of the DNA companies, yeah, I believe.
I'll look it up, but it's basically it's not the game that you would expect it to be. It's not a Nintendo property, and yet it grossed $100 million.
Psy
That
Games made it. Psy Games.
there you go. Yeah, they're a longtime mobile developer. So,
Yeah.
and I noted this before when it was doing, even half as well as this. I wonder if this is gonna let Nintendo branch out and do more games like Dragalia, because it clear if they can do a decent profit with games like this, why not? And it could buffer the amount of time that they spend and try and release the first party titles. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that Dragalia is a great example of a creative idea that is built from the ground up for mobile, and it works super well. Like I enjoyed the little bit that I played of it. I hadn't played it for a long time, but it's a high quality game, and I know it's a little more stingy than Fire Emblem Heroes, which is hard to believe because Fire Emblem Heroes is pretty
Stingy.
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 But there's it's a, at its core, it's a good game with content always being added, and it's not aggressive about the microtransactions. Like Heroes, I wouldn't call Heroes aggressive about it. Like you can play the game and enjoy it without using the microtransactions. It's just,
Me!
yeah. Well, okay, that's not true. You know that's not true. You spent $40 on
I
it.
have done microtransactions exactly twice. And that was
Yep.
because one time I was desperate and another time it was
Yep.
Atelier's
That's
characters.
right. That's exactly right. So, you have contributed to
But it's been over a year.
It
Okay? So
doesn't
I,
create.
unlike
It
some
doesn't.
people,
It's like
have
murder,
lasted a
Todd.
lot
You're
longer when it
not a
comes to
murderer.
microtransactions.
You're not a murderer after killing someone a year ago, and
Oh,
you
Red
just like
Rum,
you,
you.
not a gambling addict because you haven't gambled on Heroes for a year. You still have a problem.
Oh, God. I have a problem, right? Anyway, but it'll be interesting to see if they try and emulate this success with another third-party title. But and of course, this is a perfect segue because we now have a release date for Pokémon Masters. The upcoming Pokémon game by DNA and the Pokémon Company is coming out on August 27th, and pre-orders are up now. Sorry, pre-registration, not pre-orders, is up now to get. And early thoughts about the game have come out, and it's looking incredibly positive. Not the least of which is because, unlike Dr. Mario World, where they're really trying to hammer the microtransactions in certain ways, you don't have that here. There are microtransactions, it's for gems, and gems can help you unlock other sync pairs, which is what they're calling a trainer in their Pokemon, but it's not aggressive, to quote Tyler. It's you can get gems naturally, you can unlock trainers through the game story mode itself, and it apparently, based because of how the story plays out, how the characters work, how battles go, it's apparently a very fun game. So, yeah.
I mean, for me, I'm just like, I really want to like really test out myself, like how this game is really gonna like capture that Pokemon fan base. Again, getting all these different fan favorite trainers, gym leaders into your squad, and then like, yeah, finally duke them out. I mean, again, that's the only thing I can pretty much see with this game is like, yeah, which do you want to get this trainer? Then yes, you know, I was willing to spend my hard-earned gems to go and get this, try to pull it. It just feels like that kind of game.
It to me, it's kind of like Pokemon Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah,
I mean, think
fair.
About it. It's literally you making a team of trainers that you want to be with. So if you want to team up Lance with Cynthia, do it. You want to go Dragon to do Lance and Claire? Do it. You want to have, you know, Misty and Brock to have the trio of you being quote-unquote Ash, which you're not, but still. Do it. You know, it's... You're making your own Ultimate Alliance here. And then we have found out recently, you actually can change the Pokemon that your trainers have with you. It's just you can only have one. So like Brock can have an Onix or a Tyranitar, which I find is random, but whatever. And you know, so on and so forth. So there is this kind of nerd bliss desire to this game, which I think a lot of people are going to find appealing just because there's so much nostalgia and trainers, and yet there's still an original story with, you know, a rival, a professor. We know the enemies are quote-unquote Team Break. Okay, I was hoping for Team Break Dance, but why not? No? Nothing? Okay, fine. And so
boo.
there's a, oh, shut up.
That's something. Boo.
I'll break you. It's to Drago. I must break you. Go for it. So, you know, there's a lot to like about this game. And again, it's free to play. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
My
but
roommate Jordan agreed with me on the team, which I never felt like our bond was stronger than when he said, you gotta go Gary Oak and Cynthia. And I was like, that's what I said on the pod. Like, that's, you have to go with those two. That's the best team.
Maybe. Maybe. We'll definitely be talking about that more in the time to come. So definitely stay tuned to that. All right, a little bit of Nintendo bad news, or maybe even things Nintendo got wrong. Yeah, I know, it's been a while since you've done that.
Callback segment.
Yeah, we will remember what you've done wrong, Nintendo. And but apparently, and I didn't realize this, there's been a big issue going on with the Joy-Cons recently called a Joy-Con drift. Now, Will,
mine
did you
are
look
doing
at...
it. Last week, I got excited because last week I said that on Twitter when we were talking with our friend Kremlin Kevin about it, and I said I play in handheld mode. I haven't had that problem, but when I play on the console or when I play in docked, I do. Now I have that problem in handheld mode, and it is so annoying. I'm trying to make a level in Mario Maker, and Mario just starts randomly moving upwards, and I'm like, why are you doing this, sir? What is wrong with you? And then I realized, oh my gosh, this is the dreaded Joy-Con drift. Like, I it happened to me. I am a victim of Joy-Con drift.
This has been happening a lot to a lot of people. And it was even causing a class action lawsuit. I kid you not. And so Nintendo has decided that they will fix and or refund and or exchange all Joy-Cons that suffer from Joy-Con drift for no extra cost to you.
Yes, that's great that they did it that way. Yep. They had to because the Joy-Cons are so expensive. But I appreciate the rapid response from them. I think this was a good example of you have to give the company a little bit of time to react to the story, because right away when it became this huge deal, like a couple days ago, like 3 or 4 days ago, was like when I started seeing it everywhere. And shout out to everybody who wrote an article about it and had a Mario Kart drifting as the header image. I laughed at all of them. Nintendo issued a statement basically right away saying, we're sorry about this. And, you know, reach out to Nintendo support, blah, blah, blah.
Just regarding to that, because I did read the statement again, as usual with company statements, they always say like, we in Nintendo pride ourselves in making quality products, and for anybody who has a passing this code, we will offer repairs for no charge, and for those who are been charged, we'll give them a full-fledged refund. It's just like the way they get put that statement is just like, I know it's a whole corporate elite speak and all that, but it just feels so stoic in their statement.
It does
It's like,
feel so. Well, that was the internal memo, because the initial statement didn't say that they were going to give free refunds, and then people were like, oh, this is a non-statement from Nintendo, they're not doing anything about it. And then like I'm like, okay, but the story just broke, and I know that they had to know about this being an issue beforehand. I'm sure that they were aware that it could be a problem. But then like 2 days later after that statement, then the internal memo leaked and people were like, oh, look at that, I'm getting mine. They removed the charge. Oh, they're offering refunds now. They handled this just fine.
And yeah, for me on the take on the issue, Nintendo definitely did good regarding to this whole entire issue regarding to this Joy-Con drift. I mean, I personally haven't really encountered it. I only have my Pro controls, but with the Joy-Cons itself, I think the only time I think I maybe had a incident was during the time I was playing Pinball and Peach Ball. But over from that, I didn't really notice anything like buttons being pressed by its own or like characters are being moved on his own. Like I haven't been actually playing too much on my Switch on only on playing with the demo of Oninaki and Peach Ball, so I haven't really encountered it's lucky enough.
And it hasn't happened to me, but also I was sure that I would be one of the people. When I remember when the Switch came out and they had the sync issues, you know, I thought for sure
I
that I
remember.
would be one of those, but I have never had a problem with my Joy-Cons, so which probably means it'll break tomorrow when I'm trying to play Three Houses.
Don't jinx it.
Don't jinx it. So I don't know, but I'm glad that Nintendo is fixing this, and hopefully everyone will have this problem solved soon, including you, Tyler, so you can enjoy Three Houses to the best of your ability.
Pro
So,
controller, and yeah, but you're
yeah,
right.
you
That's
got a
going
Pro
to be a
Controller,
real
so
pain
you're
in the
fine.
butt. I might have to buy new Joy-Cons tomorrow.
Okay, now breaking news, straight from Twitter. There is a voice actress out there. If you haven't noticed on Twitter recently, okay, quiet, quiet. You know what I'm saying? Let's say quiet. This is mine. So if you haven't seen Will's profile recently on or his tweets, he's been retweeting a lot of voice actors and actresses talking about their roles in Fire Emblem Three Houses, and it's really, really cool. And so another actress has come forward and said, so there's a little game coming out tomorrow, Fire Emblem Three Houses. Never has school been so much fun. Hashtag Manuela. Who is voicing Manuela, you ask? None other than Veronica Taylor, the voice of Ash Ketchum, the original voice of Ash Ketchum and Micaiah from Fire Emblem Heroes. Yeah, this was literally just tweeted out. It is so awesome. I met her at C2E2. Incredibly nice lady. I have a newfound respect. I take back everything I said about Manuela now because Veronica Taylor is voicing her. I will respect the woman and not her outfit.
And yeah, I actually kind of spoiled myself in gameplay. Yeah, her introduction. Woo boy. That's
Watch
what I'm
it.
gonna say.
No
Woo
spoilers.
boy.
Manuel
But
is the other professor, like
the other professor, yes, the
she's
other
the
professor.
form she's the former Diva musical
Yeah.
performer
I didn't think
slash
she looked
teacher.
I thought she
So yeah.
looked she's a good looking lady, but she didn't seem like a poor design to me. She did look like a teacher. Like I felt like,
What teachers do you have at your schools?
I mean,
You have
she's
not seen anime,
attractive.
apparently, Todd.
I've
She's
seen plenty
attractive,
of
but she
anime,
has like
Will.
formal garb on. Like it's not like
She
she's
has
dressed like.
diva garb on. She's a former opera singer star thing.
Oh, in character.
In character, too.
I stand Manuela. I am on her side.
But I like this casting because, again, we're getting so many great voice actors and actresses in this game, and I love that Veronica Taylor is in this. So I will definitely send a tweet at her because she's one of my favorites, and I now can't wait for Fire Emblem Three Houses even more now. So moving on to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, we got some news to talk about and it's a little fun thing, a little quiz I'm going to play with Will. So news-wise, the game is doing very well, apparently. It's been at the top of the Nintendo eShop since it came out, which is not surprising because it came out during San Diego Comic-Con, where a lot of news was released in terms of Marvel. The first paid DLC. I remember, if you recall, I said free DLC will be Cyclops, Colossus, and Loki on August 31st. The first paid DLC is going to be the Marvel Knights Pack, which is a reference to the legendary comic series of the late 90s. It will have Moon Knight, Punisher, Morbius, and Blade. And, of course, Blade has been in the news a lot recently. So, that's pretty cool. No release date yet, but it is going to be something interesting for sure. A lot of sites, including IGN, have been noting the incredible amount of voice talent that has been in the game. I recognize some of the names just off of principle and talk of certain things, like Spider-Man is Yuri Lowenthal. Stop doing that. You know what I was about to say. who is, of course, Spider-Man in the recent Spider-Man PS4 game, so I thought that was pretty cool. Wolverine
better
is
known
up.
For his, no, his role as Marth in Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah,
Marth.
Yep. There you go. Well, that's pretty. See, there you go. That's even better. I didn't realize that. I don't play as Marth that much, so.
I mean,
yeah.
that sounds like a you
also,
thing.
Fire Emblem Heroes and all that.
And then the you thing. And then, obviously, Wolverine is played by the incredible Steve Blum. Who is,
Steve
if we're being
Blum,
honest,
yeah,
he is Wolverine yeah. outside. If there's a voice of Wolverine, it's Steve Blum, not Hugh Jackman. I'm sorry.
What?
I mean, personally, for
you
me, I would pronounce
that
as Steve
Blum. I can, I just did.
I personally always pronounce it as Steve Blum. I actually met the guy. He's just an awesome dude. And yeah, like, he's voiced him since, like, back, we were childhood, back in the early 90s. So, yeah.
No,
Hugh Jackman
is Wolverine in every way.
No.
I said in live and in terms of voice. If we're talking about character, I would argue yes, it is Hugh Jackman because he's played him for so long. But if we're talking voice, it's Steve Blum.
And the animated
Blum.
Series.
I couldn't tell you what Steve Blum's Wolverine sounds like. But I
if you heard him, you would know. You watch it. All right, but now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a little bit of a quiz time. Because I'm gonna give Will hints onto certain characters that are played by voice actors and actresses that I know he knows. And I wanna see if he can guess who they are. Okay, you ready?
Okay, sure.
Black Widow is played
Wait. Erica
Lindbeck. Scarlett Johansson.
No, shut up, Tyler. I can mute you, you know this. Alright. Who?
Erica Lindbeck?
No.
Shoot.
She plays Captain Marvel, actually.
Yeah. I know Erica Lindbergh's in the cast, but
it's the voice of Lucina.
Oh, Alex Tipton?
No.
Alexis Tipton? Oh.
No.
Lucina's been voiced by like
Laura
five
Bailey,
different
seriously?
People.
Laura Bailey. Laura Bailey.
Oh,
yeah.
She reprises her role. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
All right. I'll do an easier one for you, and wait till I say the clue before trying to answer. My gosh. Dormammu is Samurai Jack. Not.
Oh, Phil Lamar.
Correct. Gamora is Hera from Star Wars Rebels.
Hera from Star Wars Rebels. Mary Elizabeth McGlynn?
No.
Should Hera. I unfortunately haven't seen Star Wars.
Okay, it's Vanessa Marshall.
Okay, I wouldn't have got that.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I thought you did. That's on me. All right, how about this one? And Tyler, if you know this one, I would be very impressed. Iron Fist. Are you ready for this? I just blanked on the name. sorry.
I mean, Finn something is Iron Fist in the TV show.
Who's the guy from Bleach?
John Young Bosch?
Yes.
Wow.
Ichigo Kurosaki. There we go. Yes. I didn't.
Wow,
and for all you Power Rangers fans, he was Adam the Black Ranger. So there you go.
Yep.
All right.
Wow.
Here's one that literally blew my mind. You ready for this? Jessica Jones, who I regret is not playable in the game, is played by Twilight Sparkle and Raven and Bubbles and Tommy.
Seriously?
Dick.
Tara Strong?
Yeah, Tara Strong.
I did not know.
I swear. I did not know.
Wow. Apparently, like, that's where all the development budget went to. It went all to all these VA castings,
it's legendary. I mean, of course, we know, you already knew this, but Nolan North plays Rocket Raccoon and Deadpool. So that's pretty cool. All right. Here's one. This is a person you've met. All right. I don't know what character she's played, though, but so I'll give you her initials. Proxima Midnight is played by a voice actress with the initials KW.
Walgreen.
Yes.
I've seen her. She's a gal. She's quite a gal.
Yeah. And she, I think she played like one other person. Oh yeah, she played a Ilsa Bloodstone, which I didn't even know was a character. I serious. I know a lot of Marvel characters. I never heard of this lady before.
Yeah, I saw her like in the clip, like, wow. Yeah.
And then she also plays Wasp, Janet Van Dyne.
Yes.
So.
Wow.
And
Just.
then here's the kicker. I don't know if you're ready for this one. All right. Like I know Tara Strong was is upper level, but this is something else. All right. Winter Soldier. Okay, ready for this? He is one of your favorite voice actors who has been in both Fire Emblem Heroes and Final Fantasy 15.
Matthew Murthor?
No. The other guy.
And Final Fantasy 15, Ray Pace?
Yes. Right.
Oh, okay. Wow. Ray
I honestly,
Pace.
I won't lie though, I did forget about Matthew Mercer, but yes, it's Ray Chase. So,
Oh,
and trust me, there's a lot of other names, but I don't know if Will knows them. But like, this is a literal all-star cast of legendary voice actors and actresses. It's insane. Like, literally, go to IGN, which is one of the few times I'll ever say this. Go to IGN and look. Right. But hey, remember they also gave this game a 7.8. So you know, like all the that they lost all the good cred. But like this list is just incredible. Like Josh Keaton, who is legendary
Yes.
for his role as Spider-Man in Spectacular Spider-Man, he plays Ant-Man. So and then you got Fred Testaccori, you got Liam O'Brien, Paul Ellis, lots of great people. So go look at it. It's really incredible. But there's been a lot of talk about the reason I bring this up is there's been a lot of talk about the treatment of voice actors and actresses in the business recently. And then you see a game like this with so much talent and you're like, someone cares. All right. They could have phoned it in, got voice actors, and it probably would have been okay, but they got these characters to just drop it like it's hot and
You
it
know who
totally
didn't
works.
care? Diego.
What?
Diego didn't care.
Oh, Diego. Yeah, Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw you.
Yeah, edit that out. That was a great comment, and yeah, I did not get the reaction I deserved.
Well, you said Diego. I thought I heard you say Iago. I'm like,
Yeah,
what does
well, you know what?
EA have to do with this?
Todd, if you want to be the host, you got to be on these things.
Well, I don't want to hate Diego. That's why it didn't click with me originally. And
Well, you know.
I was on a higher moment. I was praising the voice actors, and then he said, you know who doesn't appreciate it? Diego. I'm like, what? Oh, Diego. Yeah, screw you. So,
Enemy
4.5, not
of
2.5.
anything? Can we say Diego's the first enemy of NEP?
Maybe. I don't know.
I need the fair.
I'm still leaning towards IGN because of all these 7.8s. It's
We'll have to
terrible.
have a vote after the show
Although I'll
because.
vote out the show. Okay, so, but I definitely go check out this game. The voice acting is incredible. The cutscenes are amazing. And I actually think, and I'll write this into my opinion piece, but I think that they could honestly do a video game, like a non-action RPG video game, in the engine that they have this one in, because it's just so beautiful. I don't need 1080p 4K graphics when it just looks this good naturally and feels like a comic book, okay? So, go play Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 so we can get a fourth entry. I'm just saying. All right, moving on to Splatoon 2 for the
Oh, hold
last
on, Todd. Can
time.
I mention one more thing about Ultimate Alliance? You may
Sure.
did you discuss how big the sales have been rumored to be?
I mentioned that it's number one on the eShop, but that's about
Yes,
it.
because it from things that I've read. Now, this is just from people who generally are pretty good on Twitter about game sales, but it was the third biggest launch for the Switch this year, which is
Wow.
astounding. I mean, you think about it, okay, so Mario Maker probably beat it, and maybe Super Mario U Deluxe beat it.
Maybe that's
But
probably
I mean,
it.
it would be above Yoshi, which is, I mean, that's a
That's
pretty
niche.
large title. Well, I mean, it's Yoshi, though. It's a flagship
Eh.
Nintendo franchise, that's for
Eh.
sure. The third biggest launch is pretty good. I mean, there haven't been a ton of big games, but
Not yet.
yeah, we'll see.
But I did not hear that, but that's pretty cool. So definitely keep me posted on that, because I definitely think it's going to be a million seller, just because there's so much Marvel love in the universe right now. So, and plus the
Yes.
Switch has so
Except
many.
for from you. You hate Marvel.
I do not hate
I
Marvel. I
know
gave it a 4 out
notably.
of 5, Tyler.
For those who don't know, Todd and I disagree on how good Spider-Man Far From Home was. He thinks
This is
it
true.
was just good, And I think it was amazing. And having seen it again yesterday, I can confirm that it does start slow, but the last hour is the best hour of any Marvel movie.
When and I said
IMO.
and I said both in chat and in this in a podcast like 2 episodes ago that once it gets started, especially with the Mysterio stuff, it's
Yes.
legendary. And the end credits scene is one of the
Yes.
best end credits, is the best end credit, not
Yes.
one of, it is the best end credit scene in the
It is.
history of Marvel and superhero television and whatever.
Yes.
But it just starts so slow and the comedy is just too much.
See, I still like the beginning, but I do agree it did it you could say it did start slow. I get that. That is a fair point. But that being said, Flash's Instagram handle is number one Spidey fan, and I saw that upon a second viewing, and I was dying. It's just so funny.
I honestly did not notice that, so
Yeah.
maybe your squinting is helping out. Moving on. So Splatoon 2, as we said, the Splatfest has ended and a lot of people are sad, but Nintendo released a very touching thank you video featuring all the Splatfest art, which was really, really cool. And it was a lot of people were crying, including us, because it was just so beautiful.
Well, I think a lot of people were crying because they lost with
Oh,
the
shut
Splatfest.
up!
People like me, we
That
didn't
does not
cry.
even matter
We were
anymore. I
winners.
think it was though, again, the fact they used it into the light from the actual expansion as the music behind it is like, it reminds me of the first time they actually did these tribute videos to celebrate the end of the Splatfest back in Splatoon 1. It's just like, Into the Light was just one of the best way to end an expansion for Splatoon 2, and yeah, just to use it here is like, oh, the feels hurts. Oh, it hurts so good.
So, but going back to what matters, the tribute was very nice, and an unintentional side effect happened because the Splatfest ended. Splatoon 3 was trending on Twitter for quite a long time, and a lot of the comments about it were, "Why is Splatoon 3 trending exactly?" Okay, and it has not been announced. Nintendo even said that they are not working on it. We mentioned this last week, I believe. But a lot of people are wanting it because of the Splatfest being over, and I can understand why. But just to remember, ladies and gentlemen, Splatoon isn't dead. You can still play online. You can still, get your perfect gear, get your A ranks in league battles and everything. You still join some friends and do Samurai, which we honestly need to do, guys. It's been way too long. I kid you not, the day after the Splatfest was over, me and Kromcho got together and we just played an hour, just regular Splatfesting, and tried to play together when we could, and it was just a blast. We had a lot of fun. Splatoon is still a great game. Go play it, all right? So,
Right.
yeah.
I just remember like in the Splatfest days, the salmon runs actually they had all special weapons from Grizz. So yeah, it was a really fun time. Yeah.
I really think that we're gonna get a Splatoon 3 announcement sooner than people expect. It's just the game had so much momentum and it's so beloved still. Like, I wouldn't call its following cult at this point. Like, it's still a very popular Switch game that a lot of people go online to play. And I feel like it would be odd to cut off the Splatfest, which are really low effort from their standpoint. I mean, I would think it's just, okay, scheduled Splatfest, pick your team, and the programming's the same, it's just swapping out colors. But I mean, if they cut them off without Splatoon 3 coming out for another 2 or 3 years, I would be surprised by that. I think that even though there hasn't been an official announcement and they have said they haven't started it, I'm not totally buying that they haven't started it, and I'm also not buying the fact that it's going to be 3 years until we get the next one. I think it's coming sooner than we
Look,
think.
it's a question of numbers, quality, and other titles. And here's what I mean by this. It's like we know that the next major Mario game is coming, right? But there's many ways you can have that done. And case in point, we got Odyssey last year. No, that was 2017. Anyway, we got
Yes.
Odyssey 2017, and then hey, look at 2019, we got Mario Maker 2, which granted it's not quote unquote pure Mario, it's definitely a spin-off, but it was so good that it fills the void. And so
Right.
if we don't get Mario a pure like Odyssey star Mario like say another 2 3 years, that's okay because we have something to build up to that. Splatoon 2 came out like literally 2 years after Splatoon 1. It was a one of those rare cases where it came out at the perfect time for the Wii U to build up the momentum. people loved it, but they wanted more, they wanted better, and they didn't want it on the Wii U, so they made it for the Switch in its first year. And that was incredibly, and if you notice, it didn't really change that much outside of Salmon Run, certain new modes and new weapons. And even then, a lot of that was DLC content. So, and the Yocto expansion, obviously. But, so, if they wanted to take a break after what has to be 4 years of hard work and Splatfests, I'm going to give it to them. Yeah. All right? Let them do something else. Let them have some fun with their lives. I know it's so hard for us to think about that as fans, but let them have some fun. If they want to make a new title, do it. And then when Splatoon 3's time has come, which I also think would be 3-4 years at least, then you can do it. It can be fresh, and we can be hungry for it. I know we're hungry now, but it's literally right. Because we just got off the Splatfest, and Splatoon 2 is not dead. It's just not going to have Splatfest anymore. There's a difference.
New content to the game that's been regularly getting new content.
Yes.
So from that perspective, it's in the end game.
Yes.
It's in the post-credits scene.
Yeah. Think about it like this. While it's not new to us, there are still people out there who have not gotten Switches that haven't played the story mode, haven't played they haven't played Octopath Traveler, but that's another story entirely. They haven't played the Octo expansion, and they haven't had fun in Salmon Run in the online mode. So yes, they won't be getting the Splatfest, but those were always, you know, once a month kinds of deals. We enjoyed them because they were something to look forward to, but we still had to do something in the months between then. So Splatoon is still the perfect pick up and put down game, play a couple of splat zones and whatever, and then you know you're off to do something else. So it's still got a lot of life in it. It's just to people like us who love the Splatfest and want to be, you know, involved in it more, it's not something we're gonna be playing that often unless we're with friends. And that's fine. But it's not dead. It's not dead.
Yeah. I'm trying to burn it. I mean, definitely as well, like, I'm pretty much with you, Todd, that just give them a break, because if I remember correctly, Mr. Nogami actually is also working on the new Animal Crossing game, last I checked, so I think that's kind of the reason why they're doing VR, so, yeah, I guess that's the reason why, like, yeah, right now, Splatoon 3, I'll just leave it to the fan creations of that fan trailers of making that pseudo Splatoon titles, but yeah, until we get the official next release, like obviously maybe in 2 E3s in time, then I can wait for the next Splatoon game whenever it comes out.
Yeah.
So I touched on this in the opening, and I know we're kind of short on time, so I'll
just
go a little quicker.
Do it.
But do you like, so at the end of the Splatfest, after my team crushed in a blowout laugher, absolute beatdown of Will and Todd, it was brutal. They're still not over it, but Pearl and Marina, like Pearl's wife, says it's time for. She says it's time for Off the Hook to break, and Marina's like, "No, don't break us up." And then Pearl's like, "Break into new music," and it's like, "Okay, yeah, cool, whatever." But to me, that just felt like kind of an underwhelming, like, ending, because they were like, "Oh, something big is happening. It's the end." And Nate, well, here's what I'm trying to say. Maybe it will impact Splatoon 3's plot, and it will have a big impact, which is really cool. But I think it was a missed opportunity to not do this final Splatfest. Like, could you imagine if they did it, like, the night before Splatoon 3 launched? That would be so cool. Just like, or like a month before Splatoon 3 launched, or even a year before Splatoon 3 launched, knowing that Splatoon 3 was coming and that this impact was going to be profound would be so exciting. I mean, realistically, I would think a year beforehand would be great. We know that it's happening, and then they could really build that into the next game's marketing. I feel like they missed a chance there.
So basically put a phase 4 into Splatoon 2, basically. A phase 4 scene.
Yeah. That would be so cool. That's a good comparison, actually.
Splatoon 3, Love and Ink.
Yeah, no, I do believe that this Splatfest will impact Splatoon 3, but having to wait is, like, without, like, just the resolution being such kind of a dud, I left me feeling a little hollow, despite the victory, which did make me feel very complete.
Well, here's the thing. I kind of understand what you're saying here, but you need to think about this in the bigger picture. Now, I'm not trying to be philosophical here. Or am I? Let me tell you why you're here. Oh, wait, that was last episode. So a big theme that has been done throughout all of these Splatfests has been the relationship between Pearl and Marina, and especially in the Octo expansion where we got the quote-unquote confirmation that Marina is an Octoling and that Pearl doesn't care. She just likes Marina, you know, she's a great DJ with the beats and everything, and so that's why they're friends. And so for Marina, who is still clearly very shy about who she is, and you know, she doesn't want to be quote unquote exposed to the world and all that, Pearl is all she has in many respects. And the idea of Off the Hook breaking up, especially after Splatfest, which they love doing together, that horrified her, and that's why she reacted that way. And then when Pearl says, "Marina, I can never leave you, you know, off the hook forever," you know, that was the moment of pure friendship that was, you know, the nice icing on the cake of what they've built together over the last 2 years. So, and honestly, I don't even remember how the first game ending Splatfest ended, 'cause with was it Callie winning or it was
Callie
Marie?
Marie, yeah, Marie won, yeah.
Yeah, Marie won. So like, I don't remember a big like, you know, breakup moment there either. And obviously, what happened was that, you know, Callie got kidnapped, but you know, but that we only found that out in Splatoon 2 and the small hints that led up to it. So I'm fine with Off the Hook being together, and
Oh
it
no,
was.
me too. Me too. I mean, that I didn't need them to put up the band or anything like that. I just feel like the resolution, and you're right, it was a nice kind of character moment, but it's framed so, I guess, generically, because they're still sitting on the TV, in the couches, like just in their normal post-Splatfest positions, and it's just okay. Team Chaos won, but the status quo has been maintained for a long time. And not talking about the band being together. I mean, they could have done a bunch of different things, but instead the game's going to feel exactly the same until the
The
next
next
one
one.
comes out.
All right. Well, to our final two stories before talking about Fire Emblem Three Houses in depth and, you know, salivating that we're almost there. I saw a news article that I cannot believe is real. And
Like, here we go. Can't wait.
you wonder how these ideas come up with, you know. For example, have you ever thought, guys, what it must take to keep a relationship together? I know we're all single, but let's just pretend. So, even though we're such studs of Nintendo attire, you
I
know,
know,
we're
right?
all single. So, oh, I have the worst luck with love. That's another podcast story, though. So apparently, a person decided to do a survey on ways to keep couples together, and they found that couples that play Mario Kart together stay together. I am not making this up. It is a real thing. Also, apparently, Tyler will like this. Couples that play Team Sonic Racing together break up before the first race is even over.
I please tell me you're not joking about that.
Okay,
Are you joking?
that one apparently isn't true, but you know, it's hilarious nonetheless. So this was done by 1,000 people to see if the console gaming, or to see if PC and console gaming had a positive or negative influence on romantic relationships. All right, this was done by CenturyLink. And according to the data, one in three couples aged 18 to 24 claims that games help their relationship, which I can totally understand. And half the people say that gaming in general has a positive. Oh, I'm not finishing that sentence. No, I am not. You can extrapolate from there. But they did say that Mario Kart had the most positive influence on relationships behind, kid you not, Call of Duty and Skyrim.
Really?
Again, Mario, he pretty much is like the icon of Peacemaker. I
Yeah,
mean, this
yeah. Apparently, gun shooting generic soldier is also
or a long
the
or large scale, you know,
Dragon
large
Bite.
scale RPGing where you can get married in game, and you just know it's like, oh, you're marrying her. Or, do you think she's prettier than I am? I can see breakups for happening there. But yeah, it said gaming can be therapeutic for couples, said Ryan M. Earl, senior associate therapist at the Chicago Center for Relationship Counseling. How is that a place? Anyway, video games can help people work together for a common goal, share challenges, compete, joint problem solve, and more. Video games, like anything else, can be a shared activity, and shared activities can foster good feelings between people. Yeah, I can see that. Just then you have to have him play Smash Brothers, and it's like, I hate you forever.
Smash Brothers, Super Mario Party, like
Yeah, Mario Party 3. So I don't. It's hilarious that this exists, but I mean, if we're thinking about this objectively and not with hilarity, I can see how this works because, like they said, if you pick the right game, like a Mario Kart, it could help with your relationship. I'm surprised they didn't try Punch Out, or.
Whoa, that got really dark.
Oh,
I am
stop it.
sorry. I am
Stop it.
sorry. I apologize for Todd, folks. I apologize. I am surprised by this. I'm going to say that every relationship that I've seen tends to, and where gaming is involved, the gaming tends to be a stressor. I've just in my experience from the people that I associate with, lots of arguments over really, really stupid gaming stuff break out all the time. So maybe it's among the more casual player.
Well,
Maybe amongst the person who,
actually.
it doesn't matter if the boyfriend gets first every time because he doesn't. He gets like third, and then the girlfriend gets like second, and then they're both like, "Oh, well, that was fun for both of us."
Yeah. Apparently, though, the biggest question isn't about how much they play games, it was the age in which they play games. They go, couples from the millennial generation grew up with video games as a large part of their lives.
Right.
Therefore, gaming is simply more natural and accepted. Whereas with older generations, a partner who played video games was perceived as juvenile and irresponsible. You tarts! How dare you! So, and if you think about it, the NES came out in what year?
1988.
1984.
Ooh, Tyler was closer. It's 1983. Sorry, Will.
Oh.
Anyway, but so, okay, so imagine you're like 10 years old when the NES came
Hold
out,
on, Will
right?
said 1988.
That's not
Will,
right.
can I get a confirm that you said 1988 for
Yeah,
the
he said
NES?
1988.
Yeah, I thought that
Okay,
was
I just
88,
wanted to
but yeah.
confirm that.
Yeah,
I'm just messing with
you
y'all.
were closer, Tyler. It was
I should have
1983.
got
What?
it dead on. I'm embarrassed for myself. It
No,
was
that's all right. No,
stupid.
well, it's easy to remember because it was the same year
The
as the great
crash.
vid the
That's why
video
I said
game
the year
crash.
after the crash. So.
Okay.
So, but anyway, so imagine, yeah, it was July 15th, 1983. Oh my gosh, I kid you not. I typed in this is slightly off topic. I typed in NES release date, right? And the window that popped up said, 1983 of July 15th. I looked to my right. Oh my gosh, and they're showing like it's in like an ad, and the ad is the beautiful poetry of Donald Trump.
What?
I just looked it up too, and
It's
it
true.
does come up.
I took a
You have
screenshot.
to, okay, so you have to do this. This is, it's hard to go to your Google and
Yes.
just Google NES release date and see what sponsored ad comes up. Because
My
on the
gosh.
right side, the beautiful poetry of
Of
Donald
Donald
Trump
Trump.
appears, and it's this hilarious picture of
Yes.
Donald Trump like lounging at like some dusty plane.
Oh, I have ad blocker on, so I'm not seeing it.
Okay. I could just imagine it. Imagine if you did the poetry of Nintendo. Roses are red, violets are blue. I want to play Mario Kart. How about you? All right?
Oh,
That's it's
God.
poetry.
The teaser is amazing. What if
Poetry.
there's a hidden dimension to Donald Trump,
Oh,
a
stop.
sensitive, poetic
Okay,
side?
stop. We can't do this.
Oh,
We got
God. Okay,
this is too
super
political.
political.
Okay, but seriously, go look that up. That's hilarious. Anyway, so but yeah, so 1983 is the year of the game crash, and everyone thought that gaming was dead in America, and then out comes Nintendo with the NES, and all of a sudden, games are alive again. So that's the way to remember it. But so if you're like, let's just say 10 years old when it's 1983, and now it's 2019, so that's 36 years. You're 46. If you're still playing video games, you can honestly say it's been with me since I was a kid. And and I'm 29. You guys are your 20s-ish. So, we've been embroiled in gaming. So if I ever somehow get a girlfriend, I know it's not gonna happen more than likely. But if I did, she's gonna have to accept that I'm gonna have a Switch in my hands most nights before I go to bed. Okay? Or I'm playing Fire Emblem Heroes. She's just gotta accept that.
Listen, just one more note on the Donald Trump book. The
Oh no.
reviews, the
Uh-oh.
46% 5-star reviews, 39% 1-star reviews, and then like there's like 11% in between. So very polarizing. You'd be surprised to learn.
Okay,
Oh boy.
fake reviews. All right, it's fake reviews, all of it. Okay, only trust the 5-star reviews. They were not paid for by Russia. I don't know where that news story came from. Fake news. All right, moving on to the important stuff. Fire Emblem Three Houses. Okay, we know the game is coming. We know.
Okay, we get the point.
All right, Fire Emblem Three Houses, everybody. Before we get to the main event, there is one piece of news I found very interesting. We the people, as in the impatient nerds of the universe, have been already asking intelligent systems, the makers of the game, what they are going to be doing after Fire Emblem Three Houses. And of course, the question that everyone has is Advance Wars coming back? Because it hasn't been back since Days of Ruin on the DS in 2007. Good game. But he goes, the head of the project, Toshiyuki Kasukihara, noted that they couldn't even think about what's coming after Fire Emblem because of the content that's still coming. Quote, "While we could say that we're working on the DLC and there's going to be a lot of content for Fire Emblem, we really don't even have the time to think about what we're going to be doing afterward. We will be pretty busy." So, we know that the last few Fire Emblem games have had a lot of DLC, and that's good to know. But this apparently is going to be even bigger. It's going to be even grander, which I can't even fathom what it's going to be about. Obviously, there's going to be like the costume packs. That's just natural, you know. And maybe some offside stories or something. But I wonder if they're going to try and like continue the story in an epilogue kind of way, maybe. I don't know.
I hope so. I hope that they don't do a Revelations, because from the reviews, the story is actually great and it's actually heavy. And I hope they don't undercut it with like a everybody's happy path.
Yeah.
I can understand that concern. Yeah, I could definitely understand that concern, like having that true ending as a DLC thing. Yeah, we don't need another Shores Wrath situation. Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah.
So. But the prospect of us getting a lot of DLC in this game is very enticing, and so hopefully we'll get news on that very soon. And for you Fire Emblem fans that just love to watch yourself suffer, Tyler, the Lunatic difficulty, which is not in the game at launch, will be added to the game shortly after launch via a free update.
But,
so
I
always do just the normal difficulty. That's hard enough for me. I'm fine with it. I want to enjoy the game without, you know, biting my nails again and you know, dreading losing a unit, which of course we have the turn wheel again, but still.
Well, I mean, on a technical level, and this could be wrong, it's speculation on my end, but I'm glad that they're taking the time to release Lunatic, because that to me means they are optimizing it, because Awakening's Lunatic mode was ridiculous. It was horrible. It just wasn't a playable game mode. Like, you'd have to do the first couple chapters. You could beat it by just cheesing with Robin and just making him, like, pairing him with Crom and giving him Nosferatu, and he could just beat the game by himself.
Wow.
But outside of that, and like, you had to use Frederick like exclusively, you literally had to only use Frederick for the first couple maps, because your other characters would just get wiped, and you'd have to buy the DLC to be able to power them up to make that Lunatic playable. I'm excited to see a game that has a Lunatic difficulty that is super hard, but actually well-optimized and fair, so that you can do it in one playthrough. I believe Fates' was better, but I actually never tried it because I was so turned off by Awakening's Lunatic.
Good to know. Also, breaking news, I sent a tweet to like Veronica Taylor telling her I was so excited about the game. I was happy that she was going to be
in.
And she liked
down.
The tweet! She liked my tweet!
One time, Ben Simmons tweeted me.
Oh, same thing. Same deal. Veronica Taylor also liked my tweet as well. Yay.
I don't care. Mine's more important. Anyway. So
yeah, she did like Todd's tweet a little more, Will. Sorry to.
And I've met her. So, you know, I've got a good relationship with Ash. So
well, she's
go.
Coming over to New York this coming fall season. So, yeah, I'll see her soon.
Yeah, you have a good right. chance to talk some smack to Todd.
Go ahead.
To
and, so, like, and, you know, really, if you want, if you want to do us a solid.
He's horrible.
If you want to do us a solid, Will, invite her onto NEP.
I'll see what it can do.
There you go. So, at the literal time of this recording, unless you're counting digital versions, which I do not, we are about 12 hours away from when Fire Emblem Three Houses is going to release. And we are so excited for this game. We've waited for this for months, and we are just chomping at the bit. Tyler, you said, I'm shivering. And,
I really was.
Tyler's apparently been listening to the theme song all day. So, you know, it's going to be good. So we're going to discuss our hopes, our expectations, what we're looking forward to most in a Nintendo discussion. right, Tyler, since you've been the one listening to Fire Emblem all day, literally, why don't you talk about your excitement for the game?
I'm always excited for a new Fire Emblem game. But Three Houses is curved for me. And like, in this past week, I was moderately excited, and then it just shot right up, because I was like, oh my god, it's actually almost here. It's about to release. But there's always anticipation with reviews, and seeing just the overwhelming critical acclaim that this game is getting, the stuff that we've heard so far is that it has a phenomenal story, which is rare for Fire Emblem, with real consequence, with characters who are integral to the story, not characters that you just like characters like Nawi, who you happen upon, she joins your army, and then she's just there. These characters are all intertwined with Fodland, with the overarching plot, and they have shared history, they have connections, they have real relationships. I cannot wait to dive in and see what this whole universe is about and how it's going to unfold. I mean, you know the gameplay is going to be good. You know that the replay value is going to be high, but just the presentation that this game is offering, the sound design, the theme song, it has this feeling of a true epic story with real consequence. And we haven't experienced that. I think Fire Emblem Echoes had that, but we haven't really had that in a Fire Emblem game, I would say, since The Radiant Dawn and Path of Radiance. And just the idea that this game is actually, it's going to have a meaningful plot to bolster what I know is going to be compelling gameplay. It has me on cloud nine. I really, when I started seeing the reviews and I read the IGN review and I read the Game Informer review, I just went to the bathroom and hid at work for like 20 minutes just to read these. And I was shivering. I couldn't believe it. As you can tell now, I can't wrap my mind around that. It's actually like the hype is, it's going to be worth it. Like it's actually going to be great. And I just can't believe it.
Apparently you are high on the hype right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Will.
Oh, for me, like, I'm really excited, honestly. I'm not just a casual Fire Emblem fan since Awakening. But, yeah, just really seeing all these reviews and previews of how this game is really exceeding expectations. And, again, this is the next main console Fire Emblem game since back of Radiant Dawn, back on the Wii day, 12 years since then, which is, like, yeah, I can't believe we lived for 12 years since then, and now it's finally back here to this point. And yeah, I kind of spoiled myself and seeing all these previews, but like I finally know oh my god, it's got the humor down, it's the storyline, and the fact that it's just everything is so voiced, you know, like Nintendo did not spare any budget on voice acting, and it's just like it shows. It clearly shows from Tara Platt, from Claude, from Dimitri, everybody else in between. It's just like Nintendo spared no expense, and just how much polish and just how much they marketed, they really want this game to succeed, and from what we've seen so far, they really have done so. And for me, I just like, even though I'm the casual Fire Emblem fan with Fire Emblem Heroes Awakening and Echoes, I just want to really try out this game for myself to see like what is it that like really captures that essence of Fire Emblem back during like Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn days. So like I can't wait. I want to see who like the houses and like the stories they have to share, the different cast members, because apparently even stories themselves is like it's real. There are some like dark themes like racism, like expectations, a lot more darker themes. So for me, I just can't really wait to jump in as well. And I mean, I'm probably not as high as you guys, but I can't wait to go and just go to Nintendo NY, get my collector's edition, buy with my amiibos, and then yeah, just really sink my teeth into it. Honestly,
just Will, what you do in your recreational time is your thing. I don't care how high you are. I'm not one to judge too much.
High on excitement, not on other substances.
High on excitement. Okay, all I heard was getting high, and not as high as me and Tyler. Like I'm clean.
Where
baby.
The heck did your mind went to, you dirty man?
I'm clean, baby. I'm clean. You know, drug free is the way to be, man. That's how we roll on NEP, or so I thought. I don't know.
Yeah, no, we are now a pro drug podcast. podcast. I hate to see it, but these things happen.
Pro Trump, what?
It's your fault.
Yeah, it's Will's fault. It's always Will's fault. All right, as for me, I just... Okay, when we saw the first trailer for... teaser trailer, really, for Three Houses, we really didn't know what to make of it. I mean, we had small glimpses of the characters. We had a tiki-looking girl. And we had the name. Like, do you remember? We all were arguing over whether the name was good or not.
I didn't like the name.
You didn't?
But now I love Sothis? The name.
Yeah.
Sothis.
Yeah,
no,
Sothis.
No. We're talking about, yeah, but we're talking
but
about
she
the name
like
of Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Yeah, but she also looked like Tiki when we first
right,
saw her.
Right, anyway. Was Tiki back then, yeah.
I know. But anyway, so yeah, we were arguing over whether the Three Houses is a good name, and now we can't think of it not having that name because we understand why it's called Three Houses. And then I remember Tyler being like angry with how Edelgard was, and now he's like in love, which, hey, I'm not here to judge.
What was I angry about Edelgard?
You didn't like Edelgard.
I didn't like her design. Yeah, I thought her, and I stand by, I think her student design is not very good. I think her time skip design is just so awesome. It is so cool. That crimson red armor, the horns, she looks like a boss.
Wow, what a 180.
Hey, whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes.
Yeah, no, her first design's boring. Her second design's awesome.
It happens.
Two different designs.
It happens. So, but... Like, I just seeing the evolution of how the game went from we're not sure what it's going to be like to I can't wait. You know, seeing the graphics, seeing that we can go through the school, that we're interacting with the characters more than we ever did, and that's including Fates, which arguably had the best interactions with the My Castle, and, you know, getting to know your partner more before, you know, actually getting married to them and everything, the, you know, support conversations and all that. It was good stuff, but this seems to just be even better. And then we have the battalions, and we have the choice of the Three Houses, and we know now definitively that each one of them has a different storyline. So it's going to a little bit Fates, but arguably in much more depth and hopefully a little more quality in certain ways.
The biggest thing is that this game, the initial choice just seems like it's not a big deal. But from there, it organically grows. Whereas Fates, you're forced to make this ridiculous choice with based off of five chapters of information. And it's the same five chapters. Yeah. And from there, it really, the game kind of like unwinds before winding back up again. This one just seems like it's a crescendo.
Yeah. So, and again, we liked Fates for the most part. It was just there were things that were obviously bad. But, you know, and I'm excited because I got into Fire Emblem because of Path of Radiance. That was my first Fire Emblem game on the GameCube. And because of that game, I learned to not just love Fire Emblem, which I had only heard about in passing before because of my friend Luke at the time. But I went back and got every game I could, and then I got Radiant Dawn and Shadow Dragon, and even though I know it wasn't the best, and of course Awakening and Fates. And so to have it back on consoles is exciting for me because it brings back the memories of the Tellius Saga. And I wrote an opinion piece recently about whether Three Houses can surpass what I consider the greatest point of the Fire Emblem series in the Tellius Saga, especially Path of Radiance. And I outlined some things that I know it will do better, like graphics and voice acting and certain parts of the gameplay, because obviously it's had more iterations since the Tellius Saga to improve, and that's perfectly fine. But what it really boils down to is the characters, the villains, how impactful the story will be upon us. And based on these reviews, it looks like it's going to do really good. And a lot of people were like, well, duh, Todd, it's going to pass it in sales. I'm not talking about the sales. I'm talking about the quality. There's a difference here. So read the piece, people. Is it that hard? All right. I guess it is hard. We are an internet generation. Anyway. But I'm looking forward to seeing whether it makes a big impact on me as Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn did. Because when I saw the ending with Ike in Radiant Dawn, where he just walks away and he becomes a legend, I cried. I'm like,
that
Ike's a legend. He should have been with Alencia,
dude,
but that's another story.
I just got a chill, like, thinking about that ending, because it's perfect. With the picture of young Ike with his cape blowing.
Yeah.
And it comes, that's such a great scene.
And then when they hear about the boy named Ike, they smile, and it's like, yes!
Ask anyone you meet, young or old, of a hero named Ike.
Yeah.
And they will share with you a smile.
Yeah.
The Radiant Hero of Legend, yep.
The Radiant Hero of
Yeah.
Legend. And it's just like, I got chills. And even when I was writing the piece about Path of Radiance, I actually went back to our Best Fire Emblems piece, Tyler, and I
Yeah.
reread every one of my entries, and I stand by what I wrote, especially for Ike.
You overrated Erica so high.
I
She's
did not.
very
And you
she's kind of
underrated
trash.
Lynn, like, so
Lynn's a
much.
little overrated as well.
Lynn's not.
Oh boy.
Lynn is legend. Lynn is lore, and Lynn is the Lady of the
Cool.
Plains.
So
Anyway!
here's back to the Three Houses thing, and I guess I'm going to get a little personal because I feel like that's part of why I'm so excited about this game.
By all
For
means.
me, Fire Emblem always it's very odd, but the series has always reflected an element of my life, like of where I am in life. So Awakening, that came out my freshman year of college, and I went to school in North Carolina. I'm from New Jersey. I was with people I had never met before. And that story kind of, the Crom's example, I think, really made an impact on me as a leader and as a person. I wanted to strive for that ideal. And kind of from that, I met a whole bunch of friends that kind of did become my shepherds, so to speak, as that's the name of Crom's army. And they also love Fire Emblem, and there was just a running gag that I was the Crom of the group. And it just like, it was cool because that game really opened up a different side of myself, a better side of myself. Then Fates came out, and that came out my senior year of college. And Fates was about picking between Birthright and Conquest, the place that you were born and the place that you were raised. And for me, I love New Jersey, and I love like my family and all that great stuff. But I grew up at college. I felt like that was North Carolina was where I was raised, even though I was born in New Jersey. And I think that's not totally fair, but that's where my head was at the time. And that story was profound to me because I had to choose. Where was I going to live? Was I going to live in New Jersey with my birth family, or was I going to live in North Carolina with the family that raised me, so to speak? And again, I don't really think that comparison is actually accurate looking back in hindsight, but at the time, that was how it felt to me. And with Three Houses, if you listen to The Edge of Dawn, very, very minor spoiler, the game, there's a time skip where you go from the school, you graduate, and then you're 5 years in the future. And I feel that way now. Like the changes that I've undergone since graduating college, I see the picture of Dimitri going from this kind of clean, super nice looking, just young gentleman character into this battle-hardened warrior. And I can't help but feel a little bit of that's myself. Like after you leave school, you're exposed to all these realities that are just so much more heavy and so much darker than you're used to. And it does change you. And with Three Houses, kind of looking at that for each three character, how they've changed since graduating, that's the phase of where I'm at in my life right now. And I just can't wait to see how they cope with it because every day I experience how I'm coping with it. And I love the fact that they're going to go in that direction and that there could be, much like with Awakening and much like with Fates, a kind of lesson that I can learn from the game.
I agree. I agree. That's one thing that I really do appreciate about the Fire Emblem. Like, it's just as the tales that they are. It is like the tales of heroes, an epic formula of storytelling. Like how one just again like the adventure, the hero's journey of being like that not that young naive person, but then after you gain tools, the skills, you can overcome these challenges. Like it's basic storytelling 101. At the same time, it's something that's simple, that simple formula that's always remained so prevalent in any kind of story whatsoever. So, like, just I want to see how, like, Intelligence System and their story in Fire Emblem Three Houses, like, how Edelgard's, the Golden Deer's, Dimitri's houses, how he just went from, yeah, that innocent man to, like, that point battle-hardened Edgelord madness. The point. So it's just those kind of storytellings. Like it's simple, but again, so very effective.
Yeah. I mean, and we don't really know. We have a visual clue of how Dimitri deals with Kale. His path is going to take a dark turn. Edelgard, we don't really. We know that she's going to be, a total boss, but we don't really know. Is she always the total boss? Like, I'm curious to see how she changes. And the same goes for Claude, who kind of seems like the, I want to say, the odd man out of the group. Because you can tell that Edelgard and Dimitri are going to be bashing heads. One, red versus blue is just a classic conflict.
right.
And then you have.
You ever wonder why we're here?
good reference.
Then you have Claude on the kind of the outside, but I'm interested to see what his underlying motivation is, because in the little teasers that we've seen from Nintendo, he also has a hidden side to him. And it's just, you know, I think it's going to be exciting to see. I think that's true that everybody in real life has sides to them that they don't show, but that kind of emerge over time. And as life draws out those components of them, just the time skip, man. I cannot wait for the time skip.
Yeah, I'm with you. I remember the reason I connect with Ike is manyfold. I mean, I was always in the shadow of my father, and then one day his former protege came out of nowhere and just killed him with his... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I was merging storylines there. Sorry. No, I always liked Ike because he was very much a common man. You know, he is the only lord that's not a lord. He is pure common. He is a mercenary. He is the son of a mercenary and a former knight at best, and that always resonated with me. And now with... you know, we were trying to debate which one of the houses we're going to take, and I sided with Dimitri because I just had, I like the idea of him being like this paragon of justice, but then something going wrong. And in Fire Emblem Heroes, small spoiler, he talks about not wanting to lose anyone again. And that resonates with me because I like to think of myself as a protector type. And so I look forward to seeing what he's going to be about. But then I see Edelgard, and she's a loner in charge of an army. She likes doing things alone. If you look at her weapon and stats, it's built on being alone, and yet she has to be she's called the future because she is the leader of her house. And then you got Claude, who is, you know, this aloof guy, yet he's willing to poison people to keep you alive because he doesn't want to lose anyone because of light measures. And it's just like, how did he get this mindset? I have always loved Fire Emblem because of its detail to story and its depth of characters more than any other Nintendo franchise, even Zelda, Mario, Pokemon, any of them. You know, it's all about the story and how these characters relate to one another. And so the excitement is in there for me because I want to see how this story turns out. Because once I beat the Blue Lion storyline, I'm probably going to do the Black Eagles, and then I'll do the Golden Deer, and then I'll see where we are in time. And if it's any time before August 31st when the Astral Chains come out, I'm going to go back to Blue Lion to play it all over again.
That's the thing. We're trying to decide which house we're going to choose, but we're probably all going to play all of them.
Oh, we are.
By the end of this.
Eventually.
I'll probably beat it first because some people took years to beat Breath of the Wild, but, you know.
I beat it kind of quick. You know, it took me about a year. Uh-huh. It took Will, what, two?
Two years. Will? 2 years. Yeah. It took you about, like, nine months.
It took me a year, yeah.
Yeah, it took you a year. Anyway, it took me 2 weeks. I'm just saying. So, but yeah, we're all excited for that. But before we end this, there is a topic that I honestly did not expect to talk about. Could Fire Emblem Three Houses, based on the reviews that we are seeing now, be a Game of the Year contender?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
At this point in time.
It has been. So if you look at the Metacritic, I believe last time I checked, it was at an 87. But that was only because there was a couple reviews from some pretty poor websites. I went to these websites. They were not what you immediately look at. And you're like, oh, that's a spammy website. Like, just nonsense. That clearly were inexperienced. All of the primary websites, Game Informer, IGN, Destructoid, GameSpot, all gave it 9s to 9.5s. And if you read those reviews, I'm surprised they didn't just give it a 10 because they were glowing. I mean, there was absolute just effusive praise. I couldn't believe how positive the reviews were. And I think it has to be in the discussion. You have Mario Maker in the discussion right now. You have Sekiro, probably. But that game was so divisive. I mean, that game was really... some people loved it. Some people hated it. It had the whole argument over difficulty, blah, blah, blah.
Resident Evil 2 Remake is definitely in there.
Oh, that was it's a remake, praised. Though, right? That's a remake.
But it's a good remake. It is.
But you're not going to give that Game of the Year. It's a remake.
You got to give it to Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry. You could make an argument for Kingdom Hearts, though that's very tricky.
Also divisive.
It's debatable.
So, yeah. But yeah, right now, at July 25th, 2019, there's no clear cut, oh my gosh, this is Game of the Year.
Right.
Because last year was
God of War.
And what was the other one? Oh, Red Dead Redemption.
Yep.
But that game, that was obviously later in the year, but still, like Red Dead Redemption and God of War, you were like, these are the titles. And I had no problem with Nintendo having no nominations last year, because as good as games as we did get, they weren't, you know, Breath of the Wild, Odyssey worthy.
Right.
But you have that argument here with both Fire Emblem and, like you said, Mario Maker, though I might argue that Maker shouldn't be nominated because of the kind of game it is, but it's complicated. So, but Fire Emblem, I think, definitely should be nominated Game of the Year right now. Now, something could change, but what's coming out? I mean, so July 26th, what comes out after this that could knock it off? Because I can't think of much.
Pokemon, but no. I mean, again, you see, that's, you are hard knowing that. I mean, there's still time, but right now I'm thinking that's probably a no as well.
But I'm saying that because even when the Pokemon games are at their best, they are rarely ever Game of the Year worthy.
Right. And like Luigi's Mansion could be amazing too, but that's probably not going to be, because when you think of Game of the Year, you think of God of War, massive scope, and Fire Emblem Three Houses has that. It has.
Yeah.
I mean, the I think the quickest I read was 60 hours for one campaign.
Yeah.
And that's insane. That's a huge game. So
yeah.
It has the epic size. It has the substance, and then it's going to have DLC that I think we'll go a long way in determining, because if the DLC is great too, it's going to have even more of a long life. It's going to be on people's minds come award season. It's going to be in the discussion. I mean, it's definitely, I would say 90% chance it wins RPG.
Yeah. Right now, it's easily in the top 5-6 rated games of the year by far. It has to be. But what, let's look for what out there, Nintendo or otherwise, is coming out. I do not know. I mean, let's type it up. Let's type it up and let's see what we get, because I don't think there's much. I mean, Last of Us isn't apparently coming out till next year.
Right. Is Death Stranding coming out?
It's
coming this year. It's coming this year.
It's rumored, but I mean, it could be delayed. It could be delayed. And isn't that November?
They have a release date.
But it could still be delayed. We've had release dates get delayed before, Will. Come on.
Okay,
let's just put that on there. Maybe Death Stranding.
That's a big game too. That has the potential to get.
Doom Eternal, maybe?
Maybe, I doubt it. Doom is super fun, but I don't think that. I think it has a low ceiling.
Yeah, low ceiling.
And a high floor.
Yeah. Okay, Last of Us is still up in the air. Pokemon Sword and Shield, no. Borderlands 3, maybe? I mean,
that game
has an interesting following. It could. You never know.
It could.
No, Dreams, no. Ghost of Tsushima, unlikely. Control, I've been hearing weird things about that. Ooh, Call of Duty. No.
Actually, one of my college friends messaged me yesterday. He works for Activision, and he said this Call of Duty is going to be amazing.
Oh,
so.
Tell him to get us jobs. Anyway,
Outer Worlds could be good.
Outer Worlds potential. That has potential. Jedi Fallen Order?
That could be.
I don't know. If they do it right, it could be the next KOTOR. I mean, KOTOR came out of nowhere. So, yeah. Okay.
But none of these games are slam dunk choices. No. Like, Fire Emblem has a real shot.
Yeah. I'm just still scrolling. I found a top 30 list. Wolfenstein Youngblood, that's out. It's already getting terrible reviews.
Yeah.
So, Ghost Recon, not the kind. John Wick Hex. Okay, anything John Wick is Game of the Year worthy. I'm just gonna put that out there right now. Outer Worlds. I would love if Marvel Ultimate Alliance, but I doubt it. Astral Chain, maybe. Shenmue 3, if that ever comes out.
I think we're looking at a Nintendo year, because will Smash Bros. Be eligible, because it wasn't last year where they gave out Game of the Year like
before
it launched. So Smash Bros. might be eligible.
If we're counting, if the Game of the Year, most Game of the Year rewards end at November, because that's how, like,
I'm thinking of like the Game Awards show.
Yeah,
but
so,
you're right. Smash Bros. Shouldn't be for 2019. It was 2018 game.
But you could argue, because it came out like right, it's like the Oscars. If you put a movie out the month after the Oscars and you're still in the running, you have to have a certain cutoff date. So if the cutoff date is November, then technically yes, Smash Brothers could be considered Game of the Year. But you know, I don't know about all Nintendo, because we're making a lot of assumptions based on what, you know, Pokemon and Luigi and Astral Chain will be like, but Right now, if I was to pick the list of what I'm pretty sure were some of the best reviewed games, it would be Kingdom Hearts, though divisive. It would be Resident Evil, though a remake. Mortal Kombat 11, which is actually the best selling game of the year so far. Devil May Cry 5 had rave reviews, so what's that, 4? Mario Maker is 5. Fire Emblem is 6. So yeah, if we're going based on best games right now, technically yeah, it would be it could be Game of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the discussion. I could you imagine what a timeline? What a timeline.
Yeah. So we'll just have to see. But with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler.
Yes, this last week we asked you, when do you expect Splatoon 3 to launch? 2020, 6% said next year. I hope that you guys are right. 56% said 2021. 22% said 2022, and 17% said 23 or later.
Huh.
Many 2021s, and I think that's right. I agree with them.
All right, so let's make the poll question pure and simple. Should Three Houses be considered for Game of the Year? Yes or no? That simple.
Yeah, it is Three Houses a Game of the Year contender, yeah.
Okay, a Game of the Year contender. That's fair enough.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, but I definitely look forward to hearing what you all have to say about that. And of course, next week we will be giving our full impressions on Fire Emblem Three Houses, how much fun we are having, the houses we picked, the characters we like or don't like, and everything else. And you'll be hearing all of our thoughts for at least the next month or so. So stay tuned for that. And of course,
Until Astral Chain anyway.
at least, so that's like that's a month away. So, and of course, let us know what you think about Dragalia Lost and Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. How much fun did you have in the Splatfest? Do you and your significant other play Mario Kart? Do let us know. And of course, what are you most excited about for Fire Emblem Three Houses? So
Also, send us romance tips.
Oh, stop. Stop. So for Tellius Tyler, Warrior Will, I'm Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level. Fire Emblem is almost here. Raise the flag.